Sit down, you're going to stand right back up. There wasn't no point in sitting down. Just grab your Bible. Where are you standing at? Grab your Bible, Acts chapter 16. And I started just tell everybody to sit down in the choir. I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach tonight. And I'm going to try to mind the Lord the best I can. You pray for us. Pray the Lord help us tonight. I'd sure like for Him to. Like for God just to come blowing by our place and just to sit down right where we're at. And God to start dealing hearts and homes that we'd be what we ought to be for Him and bring God glory. I mean, I really do want my life to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe probably most everybody here does. Listen, I'm going to say this, even if you're not all in, you're in, and you wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night if you didn't want God to at least probably do something in your life, I wouldn't imagine. And so you pray, Lord, help us. Acts 16, familiar scripture. And I'm going to pick up where Brother Josh left off, and I promise you, he does not know what I was going to say, and I don't know what he is going to say, but I'm glad you get hooked in the same source. And God knows, and that's all that matters. Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 16, I'm going to pick up there. We'll start reading verse number 22. Bible says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking up out of his sleep, saying the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. And let me back up to that verse 31. I could say amen right there, amen. He said, and he took them the same hour of the night, verse 33, and he washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his straightway. When he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. What about that? Almost like God made him a promise, and then God fulfilled it. Amen. Last verse I'll read, verse 35. Bible says this, and when it was the day, said the magistrate sent the sergeants, saying, let those men go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sure thank you today. Thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the witness. God, we ask you for a few minutes of time. And God, you'd help us to preach under unction and anointing of the Almighty God. Father, I pray that you'd make preaching easy tonight. I'd ask you, God, that you'd help us to say only those things you'd have us to. And God, nothing that you wouldn't. Lord, you know my heart tonight. And Father, I pray that God, you'd really help us to honor you. Lord, I said already all week this week, been sort of the theme of my heart. Help, so God, there's a lot of folks can see. If my whole body's into it, they can hear. If my whole voice is into it, God, but the only person tonight that knows that my whole heart's into it is you, Lord. And God, I pray that you'd help me, that everything that we'd have be put into this message, help me put in this service. Father, I pray that you'd help my spirit to line up with your spirit. God, help me, Lord, to have the same attitude toward the service that you would. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. If it is the last time that ever get to preach, God, help me to say the best thing that ever have said about you. Father, I love you tonight. I thank you, God, that I realize and understand. Father, be preaching above, God, where we live at. But God, it is where we want to live at. God, I'd ask you to help our church tonight. I sure thank you for the revival. I thank you for the good Sunday. God, I thank you for the good Monday morning. And God, I thank you for Tuesday evening. And here we are on Wednesday, God. And it's still good in my soul. I pray, God, you'd help us one more time tonight. And to God, we'll give you glory and honor for it all. It's in Christ's name we humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to notice here, just as we come off the, and maybe come off the byways, getting on the interstate. Let's look at the ramp here for just a minute. I want you to notice in verse 22, the Bible says this. He said, and the multitude rose up together against him, and the magistrates rent off their clothes. I'm going to give you three or four things real quick, and then I'll try to preach the message, and I'll try not to be real long, but it may be a little long. You just pray for us, Lord, to help us tonight, all right? And here's what I'd say to you. First of all, I want you to understand, I'm talking about in this passage of Scripture, and we see how Paul and Silas, they were used in a real bad situation. And as Joshua already alluded to, I sure do thank God for my Bible. I thank God probably the times in Paul's life when he felt like he was getting help the least as the times that I've gotten help the most out of what God's done for it. But I want you to understand, if you are going to be used by God, you're going to have to come to terms with some things. There's some things in this life that you're going to have to come to terms with. And number one, watch this. Hey, you're going to have to come to terms with that you are going to be unpopular. Amen. And now thank God. Listen, I wish to God. I would to God that everybody loved everybody. Amen. Hey, but what you're going to have to come to terms with if you're going to stand for God is the majority of folks are not going to stand with you. And they are going to stand against you. Amen. I don't understand why folks are so surprised at that. It doesn't make any sense to me. We wake up and act like it's just a shock and that folks are against us. And they always have been against the Bible. Amen. It didn't just start with you, neighbor. And they sawed Isaiah in half. And they put Jeremiah down to prison. And put him down in the mire where he sunk up. And they killed Christ. And they beat Paul. And if you're going to live for God, thank God. And they ain't going to like you neither. Amen. And now listen, that don't bother me too much. And that's what I found out is. And you know, when Paul come in here preach, it was rarely the lost folks that did not like him. But by and large, it was the religious people. Amen. And I found that out. I found that out, thank God, firsthand account. I don't understand what it is. And thank God, but it seems to me the folks that fight have the hardest against the truth are the folks who are supposed to be believing it. And thank God it's not lost folks, amen. And you go talk to any sinner you want to. And by and large, I talk to sinners all the time. And they're drunk, so I'll say, listen, you know that liquor's wrong. And you know what they say? And we know it's wrong, amen. But then I find myself arguing with Christians all the time, so to speak. And they try to convince me it's right. And I say, I don't understand. And the Bible says it's wrong. That lost person knows it's wrong. And why is it that some folks say they're saved and think it's okay? Amen. And listen, I don't make no difference to me, thank God. I'm telling you where we stand at today. Hey, you just as well to understand how you're going to be unpopular. Amen. And now don't get nervous on me, nothing like that. But the closer you come to the coming of the Lord, and the straighter you walk, and the more unpopular you're going to be. Amen. And I think we just as well to come to terms with some of that, don't you guess? And watch what the Bible says next. I want you to see this. And not only do we find Paul and Silas are unpopular, but then you notice in verse number 23, and the Bible said, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, and charging the jailer to keep them safely. And so we see that Paul and Silas are unpopular. We see also they are uncomfortable. Let me tell you, dear friend, now listen to me. God's not interested in your comfortability. I found God's interest in our joy. God's interest in our peace. But if you think God's interested in you being comfortable, thank God you signed up on the wrong thing. Amen. And this thing's not comfortable, thank God. It never does get comfortable. I've been in this for a pretty good while. I find that it makes me more uncomfortable all the time. I'm saying this to you. If you're going to serve God, you are going to be uncomfortable. Hey, you say, preach, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Listen, I don't know if you look up here. Let me help you right here. And you don't get to decide what you do. Amen. And the Bible said, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. He said, for you are bought with a price. And for glorify God in your body and spirit. And which are God's. Amen. And what I found out, I don't know very many folks in their life. And they say, this is what I want to do. That's what God lets them do.
I've been across a whole lot of folks. Hey, say, man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And that's the very thing that God says. Hey, you know, I believe I'll just have you do. Amen. I always tell folks this. I used to say it all the time. I'll say, well, I would never. Amen. And Brother Chris, they somebody, I had a fellow come in the other day to the church or to the drugstore. And he asked me, he said, would you do this? I said, I wouldn't do it in 10 million years. And I said, wait a second, let me back up. Let me just put that thing in reverse just a second. I said, let me say it like this. I said, God would have to make me, and he can if he wants to. Amen. And thank God, but I'm happy right here and doing what I'm doing. Thank God. Let me say to you, dear friend, it's not about how comfortable you are. Amen. Oh, listen, I'd like to be comfortable. I like it. Thank God. I like to feel, I like it. Amen. I like for everything to flow good. I like for everybody to be happy. I like for there to be peace everywhere. Hey, listen, thank God, and I'm telling you, friend, that Paul and Silas were uncomfortable. Amen. Hey, you think, thank God, listen, now look up here. That Paul had 195 stripes and laid on his back before his life was over. And not one or two, thank God. And no matter 195 stripes is laid on that man's back. If there's anybody in the Bible I know that Jesus loves, I know Jesus loves Paul. Amen. And now you're going to have to explain to me how it is that somebody he loves so much had borne more stripes than anybody else I know. Amen. It must mean that God is not too concerned with how comfortable he was. I'm going to say this, friend. I believe if old Paul lifted up his shirt and pulled back his pack, how you would see would be scar upon scar. As a matter of fact, he even says, he said, let me alone, for I bear in my body and the marks of Christ. Everybody else talking about with their mouth how they is following God. But the only thing the Apostle Paul had to do to let you know how important Christ was to him is to roll up his sleeves, pull up his shirt, and you see that he is beaten beyond recognition, friend. And you'd realize that God's not concerned with you being uncomfortable. Amen. I find this where we stand at today. I mean, these folks, they say, preach, I would witness to more folks. But that's, I'm not comfortable doing that. And well, thank God, look here, friend. I'd take you a big drink of water, amen, and just walk up to them. Ask them if they know the Lord anyhow, amen. I promise you this, it gets better after the first time, amen. But if you don't ever take that first step, and you say, preacher, I would like to do a little more witness, but it makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm afraid what this person's going to say. Let me help you. They're going to think you're a lunatic, amen. Everybody look up here at me. And they're going to think you're a lunatic. And no, that's all right. They thought Paul was too. And they said, Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. In other words, they said, you're crazy. He said, I am not mad, most noble Felix. Amen. And Paul never been more right in his whole life, thank God. He never had more understanding than he had right then. Amen. And listen, you're going to be unpopular and you're going to be uncomfortable. Watch this last thing. And then I'm going to try to preach the message. Hopefully we'll get on the interstate and to make up some time here. Watch what the Bible says. And the next verse, verse number 24, says, and having received such a charge, they thrust him into the inner prison, having made their feet fast in stock. It looks like to me like Paul's in an unpleasant circumstance. And so God's not concerned with your popularity. He's not concerned with your comfortability. He's not even concerned with your pleasantry. Amen. Hey, you say, preacher, I don't like this. Hey, listen to me, friend. God, don't look here. And sometimes God will get the most glory out of your life. And when you're in the most unpleasant situations that you ever have been in. Amen. And that's all right. Amen. And so we find if you're going to be used, there's some things in this Bible that you're just going to have to come to terms with. If the Lord help us tonight, what we find is one of the greatest services ever take place. That's recorded in your Bible happens next. I'm talking about, thank God, one of the best church ever founded in your Bible. That comes out of what happens next. That church at Philippi that he was talking about, it comes out of this jailhouse right here. It comes out of this house meeting. It comes out of this Philippian jailer. It comes out of Lydia, the seller of purple. I mean, listen, they've got a few crazy people, and they've got an old jailbird, and it forms the best church that you find in your Bible. If the Lord help me tonight, here's what I'd like to preach about. I would sure like for our church house had to look a little more like this jailhouse, amen. I'd sure like for our church house had to look a little more like this jailhouse, amen. I'm going to give you three or four or five things tonight that they had in this jailhouse that I'd like for us to have in this church house. And certainly we do, but I like more of it. Amen. Let me tell you the first thing you find in this Bible. I want you to text now, verse 25. He said, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard of them. And the first thing I thought about is that jailhouse. It was a place of jubilation. I mean, thank God, thank God. And now listen, I'm not talking about like the world is, you understand? I mean, the world, they shout when their team's doing good. I mean, listen, thank God for a little while on Super Bowl night. Everybody was doing shouting, but by the time it was over, the Seahawks fans was the only people left shouting. I mean, the other team, that doesn't, I don't even know who the other team was. But whoever the other team was, they got beat. Amen. And of their fans, they all went home mad. Amen. But boy, that's not the way it ought to be in the house of God. And we come in the house of God, thank God. It ought not make any difference what's happening much out there. And this ought to be a place of joy on the inside of these walls. Amen. It ought to be a place of jubilation. And thank God. Look here, friend. I mean, when we come in this place, no matter what's going on in our lives, and you say, preacher, I don't have it. I just don't have it. You say, why is that? I mean, I'm talking about, thank God, I understand we all got life, friend. And we're all going through things. How about there's something about walking in this place and walking right past that wall with all the crosses and where it says for the preaching of the cross, and we walk right into these doors and we open up the thing, we start singing, and love lifted me. And before very long, our minds get to thinking about how love lifted me, amen. And then we get to thinking about how we're living by faith and glory to His name. And before very long, there ought to be a little bit of joy on the inside of our heart. That'll be some jubilation, amen. Let me tell you this, thank God, friend. You say, preacher, if you knew where I was at, it's hard to have joy. I can tell you where they was at. Let me say just a few things about where they was at, and they still had joy. Number one, they was at the darkest place in their life, amen. Hey, you find, thank God, they get in that place, Brother Nathaniel, and they got in there, and the Bible says that the old prison keeper had willing to make sure they were there. He cast them and thrust them into the, he thrust them. That don't mean, listen, look here, neighbor. That don't mean he took them by the hand and let them in there. You understand that? I mean, they just got 39 stripes put on them, and they're in a pretty bad spot, and now they've got thrown in deeper in the hole, and where there is no light, and in the middle of the darkest place they've ever had in their life. Hey, listen, somebody said, it's time to sing, amen. And thank God. And I tried to think about what they tried to sing, amen. I wonder if they tried to sing maybe over there. And said, I'll bless the Lord at all times, amen. And maybe, what is it, Psalm 42, maybe? Over there in Psalm 142, I believe that's right. At the end of that verse, they sang that song. At the very last stanza of that, it talks about how He would deliver the prisoners and how He would let them loose. Maybe they sang that song. And thank God, I don't know what they sang. But what I can tell you is this, even in the middle of the darkest place in their life, they still had some joy, amen. And if they had some, we can too, thank God. And listen, if you're saved, and these men here ain't got not one thing, and thank God that you ain't caught. And Paul didn't get a special Holy Ghost. Everybody understands that? He didn't get a special section of Christ. I understand God delivered him dispensation. But as far as salvation, sanctification, as far as first, second, third person Trinity, and thank God he got the same thing that we got, amen. But oh, listen, thank God, listen. I'm talking about he's at the darkest place in his life. I'd say this, he's at the lowest place in his life. And still he's able to have joy. Amen. I don't, now look here, friend. You can almost tell. You can almost tell when the 401ks are doing good. How many of you walk in the house of God in here? Everybody's 401k is doing good. Other teams winning. Hey, you know, I get up sometimes when it's raining on a Sunday morning. And I thank God help us. Amen. If it's so pretty outside and it's about 60 degrees, if folks will walk in the house of God and they got joy in their heart. But thank God if it's raining outside. And Brother Mitchell said, thank God they get baptized and 500 gallons and five drops will keep them out. And I don't know if all that's true. But I do know this. I've watched so many folk, listen, it's raining outside. They come in and act like they lost their best friend. Amen. And God help us. Thank God. If a few raindrops out of heaven has shipwrecked our joy, have they something wrong with what we've got? Amen. I'm saying they had jubilation. And they said to them, listen, this ain't real spiritual, but this is the truth. They was at the darkest point in their life. They was at the lowest point in their life. I'm old Paul and Silas at the stinkiest point in their life. Amen. I mean, listen, they're at a place in their life where life just stinks. Amen. And this ain't the Fenner's County, correctional facility. And this is the old prison down there in Philippi. And when you got thrust in the inner prison, everybody understands what, maybe you don't understand what that is. Let me help you right here. Everybody understand that they get thrust down the lowest part. That means that everybody that's chained up to the wall all the way up the highest part, and they're sitting there and they're using the bathroom on themselves, and all that filth just runs down. And it goes down to the lowest part. And who's down the lowest part? But Paul and Silas. And they're down there where all of that refuse and all that's down around their waist. Hey, you understand? They're in bad shape, neighbor. And they're in a place where it's dark. And they're in a place where it's low. They're in a place, quite literally, where they look over and say, "And this stinks, and I wish I wasn't there." And despite all of that, they said, "It's time to sing, boys." Amen. I'm glad we can sing. And when life stinks, amen. I'm glad we can sing. And when things are at the lowest point, I'm glad we can sing. And when we're in the darkest point in our life, I'm glad we can still have joy. Amen. Hey, something about coming to the house of God and to being that boy, I'd like to have that. I'd like to have that, amen. I mean, they had in the jailhouse. And they, some folks today, listen, look here. I mean, now, if we, listen, we're not going to do that. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed of my own actions. And I sure don't want to preach myself under conviction tonight, amen. I'm going to tell you this, though. It's untelling how little of things will shipwreck our day and shipwreck our walk with the Lord, amen. Oh, yeah. That's almost like somewhere between. 7 o'clock this morning right now, we forgot that we are saved for all eternity. I mean, I don't look here. Listen, let me say this. Let me help you. It's a preacher, how are we supposed to have joy when life's coming apart to change? I can tell you this. If my home burns down tonight, I've got an eternal one not made with hands. Amen. And thank God, that's right. And before the day's over, my life's dead. Hey, you understand there's a resurrection. And I'm going to be raised just like Christ. And listen, if tomorrow, if some computer virus, if it wipes out the bank accounts, and it wipes out the 401ks, our treasures are still in heaven. Amen. And thank God, I'm saying this. If your party loses, if tomorrow we're a communist country, and my king's still on the throne, and my citizenship still heaven, all is well on heaven's bright shore. I'm telling you, that's why we can have joy in the midst of sorrow. Amen. Oh, yes. How many of these folks in this place, Paul and Silas, they had jubilation in the jailhouse. I like to have that, thank God. I'm telling you, listen, I like for folks to amen, shout and all that. But I got pretty rough the other night. I said, we ought to trade some of them head nods into amens. I'll settle for smiles, amen. I'll just settle for pleasant looks, how's that? And thank God, that's how I feel like most days. Ain't that how you feel like, Preacher Savage? I just don't want people to frown at me or roll their eyes at me. I don't think that's asking too much, amen. And maybe just pay attention, thank God. I'd be blessed to not go to sleep, amen. And that'd help us all, wouldn't it, amen. But just to smile, thank God. And to say, Preacher, I know it. I'm saying we can have jubilation, but watch this. I want you to understand what happens next in this text. And so not only is there jubilation down there at the house of God, it was intentional and it was impactful. And the Bible said when they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the Bible said the prisoners heard them. Let me say this, don't be surprised how many folks are watching you and what kind of an impact you'll have, good and bad, on somebody's life when you're at your lowest point, amen. I mean, thank God it's in that point that Christ is real and that He shines brightest. And that folks are watching the closest. And we've got these prisoners. I don't know what they was doing before now. But I know this. These men singing right here, it messed them up. Amen. They didn't understand how somebody could have joy when they were at the lowest point in their life. Newsflash, His name's Jesus. Amen. That's the only reason that works. Thank God. Hey, thank God, I want you to say it's a place of jubilation. Second thing you'll find in this text is it's a place of manifestation. That's what the Bible said in verse number 26. He said, and suddenly, thank God it's almost like God's waiting on them to sing. Somebody help me on that right there. It's almost like you find that the God of heaven, he could have done that beforehand, Brother Christian. That Brother Nathaniel, he could have shook the foundations, Carson. He could have done that before now. But it's almost like Brother Jesse. Now, y'all know I ain't charismatic. There ain't a Pentecostal bone in my body. But it is almost like that God was waiting on his people to rejoice a little bit. And then when they got to rejoicing, he said, all right, I think I'll help you. Amen. It's untelling what God do. If some folks just got to have a little joy in the Lord. Amen. And the Bible said, and suddenly, watch this. He said, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open. And the Bible said, and everyone's bands were loose. I wrote this down in my Bible while I was studying on it. It looks like to me where we get to singing about Christ, get to preaching about Christ. Ain't too long for that place starts looking like Calvary. Amen. And now look at your Bible and watch what happens here. Everything that happens in this text happened at Calvary too. Amen. And the first thing it said is the earth began to quake. I remember when that happened, don't you? And the very Lamb of God sitting up there, friend. I mean, listen, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Bible said, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent. And thank God the temple veil's written twain from top to bottom. I'm saying this, we preached Christ long enough, and this place will start looking like Calvary. Amen. It'll start looking like the Christ is magnified. And then praise God, all of a sudden, and the power of God gets manifested. I mean, they're sitting in that place, and the earth got to quaking. And notice what your Bible says after that. After the earth got to quaking, the Bible said, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. I'm telling you, it'd be real good for some lies to get shook up right in the middle of this thing. Amen. Oh, yes, listen, friend, I wish to God had God turned some of you inside out and outside up. And thank God turned your whole life around, amen. I mean, it'd be a blessing. It'd be a blessing to watch bobby pins fly. Amen, watch some men become undignified. It sure'd be a blessing, thank God, to watch some folks, I mean, step out of where they've been before and say, I don't care what anybody else says. I want to do something for the glory of God. I'm going to tell you this, I have done some pretty wild stuff. And when God showed up, manifest himself. I mean, when God got to really helping us, I have caught myself and thought, man, I can't believe what you're doing right now, amen. And you say, preacher, that's crazy. You do with it what you want to. And the night, this reaches way back here. How about for the night Davis got saved? And the night my wife testified for the first time I ever heard my wife talk in front of anybody. And she was sitting right over there and she got testified. And then the next thing I know, I stand in the street and just a shouting right outside by myself. I can't walking back in the church. Hey, Leslie was on her ride home now and said, and she said, honey, you didn't even hear my testimony. I said, God filled me in on it outside, amen. That's just me and him, thank God. And now listen, friend, I didn't do that to be saved. I'm telling you, I came to myself. I was down outside shouting, that's just me and God, amen. It's untelling what God do if we just got in a place where it was manifested, amen. Oh, yes, listen. I mean, thank God, hey, some folks here done some things that I've seen you do it once and I ain't never seen you do it again. Amen. But I'd like to see it happen a few more times. Thank God. I'd like to see it happen a few more times. I'd like for God to manifest himself in a real big way, wouldn't you? I mean, to get a hold of some folks. I thank God, get a hold of your life. I mean, it's untelling what priorities will change in that life. All of a sudden, what's in first place, it turns into last place. Amen. I don't know how to explain what happens. All I know is when the earth gets to quaking and the lives get shook up, and then the next thing it said, everybody's bands got loosed. Amen. Oh, wouldn't that be a blessing, thank God, to whatever that thing is that's holding you down, that thing keeping you bound up. And you say, preacher, when did that happen at Calvary? Happened in a big way, Chase. And when the Lord said it's finished, yielded up his, I mean, bowed his head and yielded up the ghost. I thank God, Matthew 27, I think it is. And maybe about verse 51, somewhere down that neck of the woods. And the Bible said the graves were open and many of the saints arose. I'm talking about folks that had been bound down and for the last 4,000 years. And when Christ was at Calvary, friend, and God let them loose. Amen. God can let them loose. Sure enough, he can help a few Baptists today. Amen. Smile at me right there. That's the place to smile, thank God. And sure enough, friend, if he can let them loose, I mean, everybody that had died from Abel all the way up to whoever died last. And now listen, I want to tell you this, friend. And thank God, and I appreciate it. And I've said it before, and I'm not against it. But that, you know, they talk about how the thief died. And he went down there into the prison and said, he's coming. I don't know if that happened or not. I know this for sure. They were surprised at how soon Jesus Christ died. I mean, friend, he dismissed his own spirit. I don't know if the thief was dead yet or not. But I know that same day, thank God, that the thief and Christ were down there in prison together. Thank God, Abraham's bosom, paradise, whatever you want to call it. Thank God, but they were there together. But before it was over with, there was nobody left. Amen. There was nobody left. There was nobody left. That jailhouse performed a jailbreak and everybody got out of town. I'm telling you, thank God, it'd be a good day, a happy day, a joyous day, and to see some of the folks in the house of God that the bonds have held you down so long, and to see God let you loose and glorify and rejoice in Him. Amen. Oh, it'd be good. I'd like to see that happen, wouldn't you? I mean, listen, look up here at me. I'd like to see it happen every single service. I know what happens in Baptist churches. You know, we pray and we say, God, we ain't had a good service in a while. Lord, we'd sure like to see you come by. Like we know what a good service is. Amen. Yeah. Let me say this. Let me say, here's what I know. I know that when I got saved, up became down, first became last. I mean, there's things that I thought, I mean, the whole world, and Jesus Christ's kingdom's the upside down kingdom. Amen. I'm telling you, everything that you think's right, it's not right. And I'm persuaded some of the meetings that probably we think, man, this was a good meeting. God's probably like, that was all y'all. And some of them meetings we think, man, this thing was dead and dried and we hated it. And God said, boy, I sure was helping folks that night. And listen, I don't know and you don't know neither, but I do know this. I'd sure like to see God do this right here every single service. And I am persuaded the only reason it doesn't happen is not because of Him, but it's because of Kevin and everybody else. Amen. I mean, listen, truth of the matter is, when God manifests Himself, boy, we all get full and we shout her out.
Oh, yeah.
And then we say, boy, that'll help us for a while. But what if it only helped us for that night? And then before the next day, we said, God, we're sure. I mean, I don't know if you know this or not. We're desperate for God to help us tonight. Yeah. And if God don't do something for us tonight, we're all in trouble tonight. And I don't know how many of these we got, but we ain't got enough to mail one in. Preacher Savage, we ain't got enough to say, you know what, this don't even matter. Let's just go through the motions, head on back to house, make it back before 60 minutes is over and hope to God that we can catch the final end of our favorite show. That's not how this thing works, neighbor, amen. I'm saying they was a place of jubilation and it was a place of manifestation. Watch it. We was going to shout, but we probably won't on this point. It's a point place of congregation, amen. Here's what I find. Watch what the Bible said. And the word of God teaches us in verse number 27. Keeper of the prison waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword, would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had fled. Everybody cried, Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Amen. What about that? It was a place of congregation. And they all said, hey, I think we'll stick around, amen. I got thinking about this. Listen to me, dear neighbor. I got thinking about what it was. Now, I don't know what you would. I don't know what you would do, but I can tell you what I would do. If I was in jail and I found out that all the doors was open, and friend, thank God, it'd be a dead sprint to figure out who got out first, amen. Hey, y'all can hang around if you want to. I'm heading out the door. Amen. And thank God. I'm persuaded I'd beat about anybody out that door too. Amen. If I wrote about it in my journal, I'd write about it like John did. And I'd say all of Amazing Grace ran and Kevin did outrun them all. Amen. But I'm saying this, friend. And when you come to this text, and Paul and Silas is in there, and the doors is open, and the bonds is loose. Hey, thank God the lost feller says, and they bound all went to the house, and instead they was all right there. Amen. Now here's the question. Why was they all there? And there must have been a greater power on the inside of that prison than there was on the outside. And they must have been something that had a greater draw on them on the inside of that place than they had ever seen on the outside of that place. I'm going to tell you this. When God manifests Himself, you ain't got to broadcast. You ain't got to advertise. And listen, when God starts doing something in a body of believers, everybody finds out about it. Oh, yes. Thank God. Now I'll say, I'd like to be there for that. Yeah. They come to church the next time and they think, man, I don't know what God's going to do the next service, but I sure enough don't want to miss that one. Yeah. And then somebody comes and tries to talk some into doing something, you know. Turkey season's coming up here pretty quick. And they'll start trying to, I mean, folks have already been tempting me. I done got pictures from Josh and I done got pictures of Nathaniel, them trying to get me in the flesh on a Wednesday. How about some gobblers standing up there? Now, I'm telling you, they knew I was kidding about that. Don't get nervous on me right there, friend. I'm going to go kill one if I can. I hope you like that too. Amen. I'll send you a picture of it. Thank God. And I'll be happy when I do it. Amen. But I won't be happier there than I am here. Amen. I could have shouted on that one a little bit. I probably quit. I didn't mean to quench the Holy Ghost, but I should have shouted probably right then. I'm telling you, thank God, I don't never want there to be more joy in the things out there than there are in the things in here. You say, preacher, I just don't enjoy this like I do that. Well, it's not this place's fault. What happens? As you get used to God not manifesting Himself in your life, and then all of a sudden there's more joy out here than there is in here. But you wasn't saying that when God was helping you in here. When the Holy, that's right, isn't it, Steve? Amen. Thank God. God gets to helping you in here, Rick. I mean, God gets to coming by your way in here and gets to talking to you in here. David, something, when God gets to manifesting Himself in here and doing something for you, you ain't running outside thinking, man, I sure missed whatever was going on out here today. Thank God you walk out and you're saying, man, can y'all believe what Christ done out here and what He's going to do the next time? We need that in this church. Amen. I want this church house to look like this jailhouse. Place of congregation. They said, we're all here. What, 90% of them showed up? I wonder if it was a Wednesday night jailbreak prayer meeting.
Could have been.
Couldn't have been. They were all there, brother. Hallelujah, preacher! Hallelujah! That made me happy. They said, we're all here. Must be something important about being all there. Right. Must be something about the whole body of believers showing up together. It's almost like when we're all together, it's iron sharpening iron. I wish there's a Bible verse that said that. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something if the Bible talked about where two or three would be gathered together in my name, there would I be in the midst? Wouldn't it be something if God got to writing letters and He didn't write them to individuals in the book of Revelation, but He wrote them to the church, and He said, when you get these letters, I want you to read them at the church. Thank God. Wouldn't it have been something if God ordained an organism to where folks could come to, where He said, when you gather in, I'm going to meet with you there. That's where the word's going to go out. That's where folks going to get help. I understand God can save anywhere. I understand God can help anywhere. But let me say this, just by showing of your hands, how many of you got saved inside a church house? How many inside a church house? That is by and large the majority of folks here. There must be something about the church house. Amen. Must be something about the body of believers being gathered together as one person under one name for one cause for the glory of Christ. Amen. Said we're all here. All here. Place of congregation. I'm going to tell you this. This ought to be a place of illumination. This jailhouse was a dark place. That old fella, he's just standing there. He called for a light. He said, hey. He said, I need a light to see. I want to tell you, we show up to the house of God. There ought to be more light shining in here than there is out there. Don't you think so? I mean, it ought to be truth. What you hear in here ought to be right. It ought to be truth. Now listen, light don't have no feelings. That light right there, it couldn't. I mean, it's just shining. And if it shines on the ugly parts of me, when I'm preaching, I wasn't sweating and spitting. It was just shining on my face. That looked good. But listen, when they slobber coming out everywhere, that light, all the thing that light's doing is illuminating what's there. It's not changing it. It's not doing nothing about it. The only thing that light's doing is shining on me. And it's saying what I really am. Thank God when we come to the house of God, you know what the preaching ought to do. Amen. It ought to do some illumination. It ought to say this is who we are. This is where we are. This is what we are. This is what we need. And if it's in the Bible, thank God whoever says it and however it's said, we ought to say amen and thank you, Lord. Amen. I tell you, illumination happens. Watch your Bible. When illumination happens, this is what happened. The Bible said in verse number 27, and the keeper of the prison will wake up out of his sleep. I'll tell you what happens, illumination. It'll wake up some sleeping people. Won't it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It'll wake up some sleepy people. There might be some preaching that says, and it is now time and high time, and we'll wake up out of our sleep. Amen. Preaching to God might come by your way and say, hey, you're dozing.
Yeah.
You're dozing. Time to what? That old fella there, he thought everything was all right in his life. He thought the prisoners was kept. Brother Jordan, he kicked back and he was going to sleep. But something started shaking around him. Something started happening. And before long, there's an illumination on where he was at. I'm going to tell you this. It woke him up. You ever been in the house of God and God just come by your way? And I'm talking about just sober you up to really how you're living and what's going on in your life. I'm talking about man. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Come by your way. And God gets to shine a light down in your life. There's been times God's, listen, Johanna, there's been times God's came by my way, shined a light on me right here, said, you ain't doing near as good as everybody thinks you are. That light gets to shining bright. You can't see it. This ain't Damascus Road. Y'all listen to me? This ain't Damascus Road. Thank God there's been times the Holy Ghost, he just starts peppering my heart. And he says, what about this? You know what I found out about the Holy Ghost? I ain't never wondered if it was somebody else talking to me. Because he ain't never had a problem saying what he needs to say. And let me help you with this. You know, look here, friend. I'm going to move on. I want you to listen. You know the difference between the Holy Ghost talking to you and the devil? Could I help you here? I mean, these folks, and they say, how is that? I talk to folks all the time. I say, I don't know if that's the Lord or if that's the devil. Well, one, I mean, if you're saved, that helps.
Yeah.
Is that right? Don't get nervous on me. That's right. He said, my sheep know my voice, and strangers they'll not follow. But I get confused sometimes. I'm sure you don't get confused. But I get confused on things sometimes. I say, now, Lord, now what is this right here? You know, the Bible says that the devil can be transformed into an angel of light. You got to be careful. So which one is it? I've always found this. I think you can find this throughout the Bible. The devil always accuses generally. The Holy Ghost always convicts specifically. So the devil says things like this. You ain't worthy. You ain't good enough. When the Holy Ghost deals in my heart, he says, you should not have done. See, the Holy Ghost don't have to accuse me generally because he knows me specifically. I belong to him. See, I think that Jasper's a pretty good boy. But if I wanted to make an assumption, I'd say he's not a good boy. It'd be general because I don't know him well enough. He's not mine. I don't know him well enough. Y'all listen to me? I talk to my three boys and I can tell y'all, here's what their problem is exactly. Because they're mine. Y'all listening? I feel like I lost some of y'all on that one, but it is right. If you belong to God, God will come back to our, He'll come by our young teenagers. He'll come by our young, He may even come by some of our older, say, hey, you have not been on that website. You ought not been looking at that. You ought not have said that. You ought not have been there. Thank God the Holy Ghost will let you know. Amen. I'll tell you how, I'll do you one better than that. Holy Ghost will let you know before you do it. I read the other day that said that almost 70% of men in a Baptist church are on some pornographic website.
Preach, brother.
God help it. God help us is right. I'm going to tell you this. You ever get to typing on that thing, and before you ever push enter, the Holy Ghost will say,
That's right.
Holy Ghost will say, no. Boy, sort of.
That's good.
Yes, sir.
And then when you're looking at, the Holy Ghost will say, and when you get done, the Holy Ghost will say, and when you come to church, the preacher's preaching about how he wants the church house to look like the jailhouse, but the only thing the Holy Ghost is saying to you is, you know you ought not have done that. You ain't fooling me. I've been in this too long. Amen. Holy Ghost, get on your trail. It don't matter what the preacher's preaching about. The Holy Ghost deals with you specifically. Amen. You better believe that's right. Now listen, I'm going to tell you this. You ought to thank God. I would to God all of our hearts was like Eli's. And God gets to talking to us about something, we ought to just respond to Him. It's a place of illumination. Woke Him up out of His sleep. Thank God. Hey, listen, it resurrected Him from the dead. That old jailer was about to die. But listen, thank God, Kelsey. Hey, hallelujah, the Word of God came by His way and no longer dying, now He's living. Amen. I wish that's what happened in the house. It's amazing you'd be in here and you'd say, boy, I'm about ready to die. I'm about ready to ruin my life. God come by your way and He said, do yourself no harm.
That's good preaching.
Don't do it.
Thank God.
God come by your way. You say, man, I'm about to throw this whole thing away. About to just throw in the towel. And the Holy Ghost say, don't do yourself no harm.
Yeah.
Don't do yourself no harm. Don't do yourself. Ain't that just the way the Holy Ghost does us? Brother Bill, he'll point it out. He'll say, y'all not done this. And then the bit more he does that, and you say, Lord, I'm ready to give up and quit. The Holy Ghost said, don't do yourself no harm. We're still here. Come on back here. Oh, yeah. It's the wooing. It's the goodness of God, neighbor, that leads men to repentance. Yeah, thank God there's illumination. He woke the sleep. He resurrected the dead. I'm going to tell you what he done for this fella right here. He brought light into his dark place. I'd like for God to do that for some of us, wouldn't you? I mean, every Sunday, every Wednesday night, every time we're in revival, I'm hoping that the power of God just shines light in somebody's dark place. These folks come in here all the time, saved and lost, in dark spots in their life. And when they come in the house of God, they don't need to hear from Kevin Sexton. They don't need to hear from them. They need to hear from heaven, friend.
Amen. That's right.
What a blessing it'll be. Let me give you this. It's a place of congregation. It's a place of jubilation, place of manifestation, it's a place of illumination. I want to tell you this. Last thing, what I'd like for this church house to look most like this jailhouse in, it's a place of salvation.
Amen. That's right.
Place of salvation. In that place that day, he said, sirs, there was something so big and powerful got to happen around him. Now again, you have to remember, I'm talking about you got to remember the setup around it, Chase. It's two men in the worst time of their life, got some joy. And because they've expressed some jubilation, God's manifested Himself in that place. That's caused some light to shine in on some prisoners. Kept some prisoners in the place. Now all of a sudden there's a lost fellow and he's trying to figure out, why is the prisoners here? Why are the prisoners there? Why are these two men so happy? And before long, he says, hey, listen, I don't know what you got that I ain't got, but I'd sure like to have that. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, what I do? What I do? They didn't say nothing about water baptism. Ain't that amazing? They didn't say nothing about works. They didn't say nothing about joining the church house. Thank God they said, believe on the Lord Jesus. And they said, we'll take it one step further. They said, you'll be saved, and your whole house. And you say, preacher, we don't believe in group salvation. No, but I promise you this, Dad, if you'll get saved and live like it, God will help your family.
Yeah.
There can't be a whole lot of salvation going on at your house and it not rub off on everybody there.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, I feel like some of you want it to be over, and I'm just now feeling good. Amen. I mean, listen, friend, it ought to be real. This fella goes back, and it got so real, the people that he hated, that he was throwing in prison, now he's brought them to his house, said, honey, somebody needs to put on the crock pot. Somebody needs to get a roast going. I'm bringing some prisoners home. I got to wash their stripes. Amen. It's almost like it'll change you. It's almost like it'll make you love the people that you used to hate. And then we get in the house of God, and we hate the people we're supposed to love. Oh, man, I feel like I've been doing some preaching tonight. The Lord's been helping me. Lord's been a... That's crazy. You get around church folks, and they're supposed to be saved, and they hate everybody that's saved. Some of you may hate me right now. I'm going to tell you this. Listen. My boys would call this rage bait. All right? You say, preacher, I hate you. You can't stop me from loving you. It don't make no difference. You hate me all you want to. I loved you when I came in here. I'm going to love you when I walk out of here. I find out you've been talking about me. I'm still going to love you.
Amen.
You say, I don't like it. I know it. I'll love you anyhow. Amen. I've always found it's best to love on people that hate you. Just go give them a hug. Go just wrap your arms around them. Amen. Well, I'm going to kill it.
I love it, brother.
I want to tell you, they were so saved, they took him home. His wounds got healed.
Amen.
Y'all listen to me. That's what I want happen in our house. This house.
Yeah.
This house. I've heard things in the jailhouse, preaching in the jailhouse, that honestly, some of those things I ain't hardly got over. I'm in mixed audience tonight, and I don't want to. But I've had ladies come and talk to me, preaching to the ladies, saying the reason that I am not a believer is because of these things that happened to me in a church house by church people. And all I can tell you that is not every person that says they're a sheep is a sheep. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. But that's not Christ's fault. Amen. So I'm going to say this, but I would like for this to be a place where not just souls are saved, but where wounds get healed. Man, these people walked in these doors and had some deep wounds. Deepens. These people probably here tonight. You feel, I mean, these folks here tonight, I just get talking about it and you just feel it. They got deep wounds. You're in a good place. I hope it'll be a good place. I hope it'll be a place where God'll heal things that almost look like they can't be healed. Wouldn't that be good? Listen, let me give you this last thing. I'm done preaching. I want to be a place where souls are saved, where wounds are healed, but I want you to watch this. Verse number 35. This is what the Bible said. It said, when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant saying, let those men go. I'd like for it to be a place where the charges are dropped. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, they're charged, David, they're guilty, they're thrown in. I mean, they're guilty by their standards, thrown into the innermost part of the... But by the time the day's over, the charges are dropped.
Yep.
Now listen, if everybody else has dropped the charges, God's dropped the charges, why can't we drop them?
Yep.
I'm talking about why this jailhouse is better than most church houses. Don't get nervous on me right here, but I am telling you the truth. I would rather preach
at Fentress County Jail than about any church I know. I would. I would. And you say, what is it about there? I found that by and large, most people's pretty honest about what they are there.
Yeah.
But then I'm standing in Baptist churches where, I mean, people come up to me like, preacher, I got drug problems, I got alcohol problems. And you know what? I can point them to Christ, Jordan, and say, Christ can help you. But what I found is we got the same people suffering from the same things in the house of God. And instead of trying to deal with them and bring them to Christ, we try to cover them up and try to go on about our way. But the Lord knows. And I would to God this would be a place that when you walked in here, you knew whatever condemnation you're under, you can bring it to Christ. Now listen, we don't sweep sin under the rug. Somebody help me a little more on that one. But if you bring it to Christ and God grants you forgiveness for it, well, listen, Creston, you got something to give me. You're going to have to drop the charges. Just drop them. Be like, I don't know. Charges are dropped. We're clear.
Amen.
That's what helped that place. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm done. I'm done, preach. Stand to your feet. You know I'm done. I'm going to say this to you, friend. I want you to hear me. The Lord's dealing with folks even here tonight. But you can't keep going. I mean, listen, I don't know really how to say what I'm going to say. But if I went down to Fentress County Jailhouse right now and tried to turn myself in and say I wanted to stay, they're not going to keep me. I promise you, they're not going to keep me. They got no charges on me. Right? Yeah. You come in the house of God, maybe no charges on you, there ain't nothing sticking, you're good to go, that's fine. But if there's things in your life that's not right between you and God and you're saved, you need to deal with them. You need to deal with them. Hannah, come play something. Hannah, come play something. I don't know where you at. I'm just preaching about how I'd like for this church house to look a little more like that jailhouse.